Now we go to Lynn Lindbergh, who gave us a good workout this morning. Enjoyed that. And I'm going to go ahead and read her bio. So here we go. Lindbergh is the founder of Couch to Active, an online fitness studio that provides fully accessible group fitness and personal training to people who are blind and sighted. She is an award-winning author and host of the Health and Fitness Motivation Podcast. Lynn is an educator. She holds her degree in education and is a sports nutrition specialist, aging fitness specialist, weight loss management specialist, certified personal trainer, certified Pilates instructor, and certified group fitness instructor. Lynn lives with chronic illnesses, fueling her compassion for what it takes to get moving when the body refuses to cooperate. She is a geeky goofball who smiles too much. And you know what? You can never smile too much. And takes her clients' health and wellness seriously. So, here we go. We'll welcome Lynn back to the microphone and take it away, Lynn.
All right. Thanks, Debbie. And as I understand, we're going till about 15 minutes after the hour?
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay, great. No problem. Good. And welcome, welcome, welcome back. And those of you who missed the workout earlier this morning, oh, it was such a good time. We're back here today. We are not exercising now. We're talking about food. I do have a quick question. It might go for Debbie. I know in the description for this, we mentioned some breakfast ideas that have protein. And so should I give that to you to send out, or should I ask folks to email me, or we can figure that out later?
You can send it to the office, the PCB office, or to me. It's Chris Hunsinger, and you and I've been emailing, so you can just send it to me, and we'll make sure it gets passed out. Does that make sense?
Yep, it makes perfect sense.
So the information goes to Chris, and she'll make sure it gets out.
Great. Good. I just want to make sure I did that the right way. Great. All right. Well, welcome you guys. Today we are going to have a lot and plenty of time for Q&A at the end too. The main goal today, we titled this Protein for Breakfast. And the main goal is at the end of this session, you're going to have a really good sense of how much protein you need to get in an average day. And specifically how to integrate it into breakfast, because breakfast tends to be the one that we have, especially in the United States. And, you know, with the food culture we have, tends to be the one that we get the least amount of protein in. And so you're going to have a real confidence of like, okay, some of you are going to come out of this feeling a lot better. And you're going to be like, oh, I feel good. I'm already kind of on track here. Some of you might just have a little like, oh my gosh, I need to change things. And maybe your work is going to be to first show yourself some self-compassion, breathe, and then start looking at some changes. And then some of us will figure out like, gosh, I just have a couple little tweaks to make and I'll be in really good shape. So this is really important, what we're doing today, is because with these little changes of making sure we have protein on target, especially for the big breakfast or first, that was a Freudian slip there. First meal of the day, breakfast, which ends up being big. You end up with a cascade effect of feeling better, having more energy, having less nappiness, sleepiness, having less hunger overall throughout the whole day. And so then it makes it easier to not need grit or self-discipline as far as other snacky foods that we know we love. You know, food is love. We know this. Food is love. Especially if you're from the South. Oh, wait, we're from the East. Food is love in the East too. There we go. In Seattle, we like to pretend food is not love. We like to pretend food is art, but you know, it's all, all different. But at the end, I want you to have just some real confidence of knowing exactly where you are. And we're going to have, I'm going to ask each of you to think about one thing you'll take from this today that you'll look at and work on going forward. And so at the end, we'll have some time for, we'll open the lines at the end for either Q&A or to share what your one thing is that you want to do. Because I can sit here and yammer on all about, protein and grams of proteins and insulin levels and all these things. And it's like, it really doesn't mean anything until we have a change in our life. And the changes in our lives usually come more, less with someone like me yammering on about why it's important. That's where it starts. But it really tends to stick more when you feel like you've got a peer group, a group of friends, and you hear, oh, my friend is doing this. That's a great idea. I think I'll try that. Or, my other friend is doing that. I'll try that. That's a great idea. And just really building that community and supporting each other is where it really, really comes to life. So, okay. One thing about my approach too is I want to be a very stoic realist. So I'm a bit of a goofball, but I'm also very much realist. So we're going to talk reality here. I'm not going to come to you and say, okay, ladies and gentlemen, please start with your whole grains and get out your auger and mill those grains on your own because fresh milled grains are the very best. Make sure you spend 48 hours sprouting those. They're like, no, we're not going to do that. I know there's reality of our lives and what we do, what you decide to do today. It has to make your day better than it was yesterday. So we can't say, I'm going to change everything and it's all going to be amazing. And no, we got to be rooted in reality. So some of these suggestions we'll give, a pure play nutritionist might stick their nose up at them a little bit. But we're looking for incremental changes. We're looking at doing better tomorrow than we did today, better today than we did yesterday. That's what we're looking at. That's where change happens, not in having a whole new big thing. So let's get going here. So we're going to have four rounds of what I call pause and think. Pause and think. And what I'm going to do is ask everyone here a question and give you about 45 seconds to pause and think about your answer to that question. And I'm going to play music while we're thinking, so it's not just dead space. That 45 seconds is going to feel like an hour, probably. Maybe not, but probably. So here comes our first question. So ready. Go ahead and listen up right here to the question number one. And let me get my screen audio sharing ready here. Boop-a-doo. I'm so happy Zoom is getting, come on. Zoom is getting better and better at this. Okay. Question number one. This is for you to think about. First, pause and think. We're going to go for a whole 45 seconds here. About how much exercise you're getting, how your nutrition is going, and how well your sleep is going in any given week. So that's what we're going to do. I'll be quiet for 45 seconds when the music starts and just think through your week. When I say the words exercise, nutrition, and sleep, just imagine what your normal week goes. Here's our 45 seconds starting now.
Daylight sun always tries to make its way to you over there. You run silently, of course you do. Don't hide away too far away now. I'm gonna miss you this time too.
Okay, there we go. 45 seconds. We just did some time of thinking about our exercise, our nutrition, and our sleep. We're going to get to protein for breakfast, but first we really have to know why this protein is so important. So we're going to talk about the cycle of exercise, sleep, hydration, and nutrition. Some of us when we thought about this, those can be very anxiety producing words that make us just feel just terrible or bad, or like, you know, that some of the negative self-talk can be pretty dark. So if that was you, take a moment to just breathe, sit up a little taller, and know, well, we're going to go back to being stoics about this and being science about it. Some of us, maybe we feel great, but a lot of times those words come up and we're just like, yeah. Okay. So the cycle of exercise, sleep, and nutrition. So here we go. We're thinking to ourselves, I want to be stronger. I want to be able to get up and down from my chair faster. I want to be able to pick up bags or boxes and move things around my house with more confidence that I'm going to be able to pick it up and not throw my back out or not get hurt. Or I want to be able to walk a little bit faster. I want to be able to have more confidence that if I trip, I'll be able to catch myself, not fall. Essentially, it's the I want to have more freedom in my body. I want my body to be able to do more things so that I can just live my life. That's really the want that we have here. In order to get that, in order to get those muscles of your body stronger, we have to exercise. We have to give the body a signal and say, okay, body, we're going to work you harder. And then the body gets that signal of saying, oh, whoa, Lynn just picked up something really heavy 12 times. Uh-oh, we need to make her stronger. What's actually happening is when you exercise and pick up those heavy things or actually lift any kind of weights or dumbbells, or it doesn't matter, your body doesn't know if it's a dumbbell or a gallon of milk. It doesn't know, doesn't care. We know this. When you're doing that heavy exercise, it's actually tearing down the muscle, and the muscle is actually, after exercise, it's actually weaker. Yeah. So exercise itself doesn't actually make the muscle itself stronger. It actually makes it, in that moment, weaker. That's why we say, like, if you pick something up a whole bunch of times and after a while you just can't do it anymore because the muscle's weaker. Now, we know that's not the end of the story. There's more. So exercise makes us weaker, in a nutshell. There's more to that than, you know, than we know, but it's okay. Then when we're sleeping and we're actually conked out asleep, that is when the body actually produces the human growth hormone the most. And that's when it actually starts repairing the muscle and building that muscle back. And so when you do that exercise that tears down the muscle, then the body's like, oh, whoa, you know, Lynn needed this muscle. I better take what I have in my body and repair that muscle. But we got to make that muscle stronger than it was yesterday, because apparently she needs those muscles now. And day after day after day, this cycle happens. Here's where protein becomes so important. And you're with me, I can tell. You're already with me. You're like, oh, okay. When you're sleeping and your body's repairing that muscle that you exercised, it needs to get that protein from somewhere. And unfortunately, our bodies do create much, but unfortunately, not all of the amino acids that it needs that you get from protein in order to build the muscle. We have to eat proteins, all kinds of proteins, in order for our body to have what it needs to build it and become stronger and stronger. So that's that cycle. I want to be able to get up and down from my chair, and I've been exercising, and I've been trying to sleep the best I can, and all this exercise, all this sleep, all this hydration, and I'm just not making any progress, or I'm not making progress fast enough, or I don't know. I feel like it's too late for me. Yeah. Protein could be your very missing link of that. And we also know protein, in addition to the muscle growth, our hair, our skin, like, do you know, get less, a lot of times if you have skin issues, if your nails are chipping apart and peeling apart, it could be a lack of protein. And all of our organs, our intestines, our stomach, our a heart. Ka-chunk, 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 ka-chunk. All of that. You like my heart beat, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. All of that is protein too. So it's super important to get more protein into our body. So we're going to start transitioning now into thinking about protein and breakfast and all of that. But first, we're going to go into our number two, pause and think, where I'll turn the music on for 45 seconds while you think about this question coming up here. Here's your question. Pause and think with me. What do you normally eat first thing of the day? So I want you to think through your whole Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through the whole week over the last month. And what's the first thing you normally eat? Even if you don't eat your first thing till 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I don't care. Think about what do you normally eat and ask yourself, why is it that that's what you normally eat? Is it routine, convenience? Is it what's available to you? Is it habit? Kind of what is it? So that's a kind of a two-pronged question. What do you normally eat first thing of the day and why? All right, here comes our 45 seconds of thinking about that question. Here we go.
A small alone, as I remember, only words carried me home. I float alone, won't let the world make me feel like I'm just a stone. Always at home, that I'd always unfold.
All righty. I gotta tell you, these songs I picked out, they're right when they start getting good is when we have to stop them all. Okay. Just really want you to take some time to think about, you know, what is it that we eat in a day? Is it because it's routine? Is it because it's convenient? Now we're gonna start getting geeky here and looking at protein, grams of protein, ideas, and all of that. The reason I want you to think about what you eat first of the day and why is because when we get to the end of this and we start thinking about what change we want to make, we don't want to say, okay, I've been eating the same cereal out of the same box for 30 years, and now I am cooking omelets and making smoothies that have hemp and chia seeds and cod liver oil. And like, I mean, cod liver oil. Why did I say cod liver oil? That's not part of my speech. Okay. Please, somebody, is there a psychologist in the house? Please, what does it mean? Anyhow, I digress. I want you to make sure that whatever change we do make, we don't make it massive lifestyle change right away, because that just sets us up for not succeeding. And we want to stay realist here. All right. So how much protein does a human being? We are human beings. We are the animal called a human. I like to say that because so many times we like to think, or we forget, that we are not robots. And we like to think that we can be better than our biology. But the biology and the science of who we are, it just kind of is what it is. So how much do we need for protein? Okay, here's the guideline. If you know what you weigh, and if you don't know what you weigh, that's okay. I mean, ballpark. We'll get you in the ballpark. The rule of thumb is take how much you weigh, divide that number in half. And that's about how many grams of protein you should be getting in a day. So we're going to do a little bit of math here. And if you're like, oh, numbers, no numbers, don't worry. In about 5 minutes, we'll be back to a spot where we're not talking all numbers here. So you take how much you weigh, divide it in half, and that's about how many grams of protein you should get in a day. The only exception to that is for somebody who is, say, 300, 400, 500 pounds, then the numbers change a little bit. But the rule of thumb for most folks, take your number, divide it in half. That's how many grams of protein you want in a day. What's the bare minimum? The bare minimum of protein that most individuals need in a day is 50 to 60 grams a day. That's the bare minimum in order to sustain your organs in your body, your heart, your lungs, your muscles. And when folks begin to realize, the next piece we're going to do here is kind of figure out how much protein in a day you get. And see, if we're not meeting that bare minimum, then it's harder for the body to repair those things and it's harder for the body to keep itself healthy. Yeah. So here we go. Before we dive into the numbers too geeky and too deep, we are going to do a little bit of number math here. In a nutshell, if you are not a vegetarian and you are eating some meat 3 meals a day, you're probably meeting that minimum. No problem. There we go. Rule of thumb. So now here we go. Let's do some mental math here really quick. So what I want you to do first is think about a dinner, a typical dinner for you. And I know a lot of us, it's like, oh, I snack all night long for dinner. Or like, just think of a typical dinner. Imagine that dinner on your plate. And then we're going to do a really quick guess on how much protein is on that plate. Are you ready? Are you ready? Okay, here comes a little bit of numbers. And if you get lost partway through this, don't worry, it's all good. We'll just continue down the path together. So on your plate, if you have a serving of meat that's about the size of a deck of cards, 4 ounces, give yourself 25 grams, 20 grams of protein. If half of your plate is vegetables, give yourself 3 grams of protein. If you have a cup of milk, 8 grams. And if you have 1 ounce of cheese, and 1 ounce of cheese, if you're like me and you love some cheese, 1 ounce of cheese is so sad. It's like, it's just one little slice of cheese, one little cube of cheese, 7 grams of protein. If you have a half a cup of something that's like beans on your plate, 7 grams. If you have a slice of regular typical bread you see everywhere, 2 grams. If you have a slice of something more like an Ezekiel bread or a Dave's Killer bread, 5 grams. So there we go. That was way too fast to be able to do it super meaningful. But if you're looking at trying to get 50 grams in a whole day and you look at what's on your dinner, if you have 4 ounces of meat, half a plate of veggies and some cheese, you're looking at about, 35 grams of protein? So not your 50 to 60, but not too shabby. Now it gets fun. Now the fun part. Now imagine your typical breakfast. So here we go. The first thing you eat in the day, typically what is that thing you eat? And this one tends to be more routine for people. You want to aim for a bare minimum of 20 grams of protein for breakfast. 20 grams of protein. So let's see how we're doing here. Let's say for breakfast, imagine what's on your plate. Just one breakfast you're imagining. You can pick your best one. I don't care. It's all good. Imagine what's on your plate. Okay, here we go. Most of us, I'm not going to say most of us. I won't make assumptions. Let's pretend you've got a slice of toast, regular bread, 2 grams. Or you've got your Ezekiel Dave's, 5 grams. Yeah. Let's say you have a bowl of Cheerios, 1 cup of Cheerios, 3 grams. How about a croissant? 3 grams. How about 1 egg? Only 6 grams. How about 2 eggs? 12 grams. How about 3 eggs? 18 grams. Now we're getting closer to the 20 grams total for breakfast. What about bacon? Bacon's meat, right? Bacon's got protein in it. Well, 2 strips of bacon, it's a whole lot of fat, only 3 grams of protein. 1 sausage link, 5 to 6 grams. That's a little better, but sausage links are full of all kinds of other crud, usually. Okay, you say, no, Lynn, you don't know me. I eat yogurt. Yogurt's full of protein. Okay. Regular yogurt, 6 grams about. Well, I can't do dairy. I do the non-dairy yogurt. So I got coconut yogurt, 2 grams. Wah, wah, wah. I do the Greek yogurt. Greek yogurt. This is what's so amazing to me. Greek yogurt. Are you ready? 15 grams. 1.5. Woo, that's getting us closer to the 20. Or this is now all of a sudden why we're realizing smoothies are so popular, because one scoop of whey protein powder, if you can palate it, which most people can, 25 grams of protein in that thing. Whew. Yeah. So now you've kind of got a sense here. Some of you are thinking, oh, whoa, I'm nowhere near this. Some of you are saying, what the heck, way too many numbers. So we're going to move along from the numbers. It's all good. We're going to go back away from numbers, back to stories. So just kind of think about where you are and kind of pause and think a little bit about, okay, we got to make a change here. Maybe, maybe not. When you decide, I want to add more protein into my diet, the pitfalls we want to watch out for is healthy, as much as possible, healthy proteins. And that is in the context of what you eat week over week over week. One breakfast with some bacon on it is not, there's no bacon police that are going to come after you, you know. But in your whole context of your life, your biomarkers, you know, what's your doctor saying to you? What do you need to do? Really, 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 as much as possible, look at whole meats, avoiding super fatty cuts, avoiding fat is good. We need fat, but avoiding super fatty, nitrates. So the reason bacon gets poo-pooed so much is not so much because of the bacon itself, but because of the nitrates in the bacon. And there's evidence that seems to suggest that it's the nitrates that are not good for us, and the processed meats that are not good for us. And so those are the things you want to watch for when you're adding protein in. So, yep, 20 grams for breakfast is what we are trying to do here. So, okay, now, okay, we did that thinking about our breakfast. Sorry about that. I'm looking at my notes here. Next, what we want to do now is take a look at what are some ideas, and this is the sheet I'll send you all. When you add in, there are some good prepackaged options to add for breakfast. I mean, there's Greek yogurt cups, there's protein bars, hard-boiled eggs, cottage cheese cups, protein shakes, breakfast sandwiches, turkey sausages, high-protein granola bars, all kinds of things. You want to know what I ate? What I ate for breakfast today? Like, yes, Lynn, tell me, what did she eat? Typically, I actually do a lot of protein smoothies. And I have some favorite protein smoothie shakes recipes that are actually in the flyer that I'll send to Chris to send out to you guys. Not flyer, but a list of recipes. So I typically do protein smoothies a lot because it's easy, it's a great way, and it's convenient for me. This morning for breakfast, after I taught class with you guys, because I'm in the Pacific time zone, so I started teaching at, 6:30 in the morning, something like that. So afterwards, I went to my kitchen. I cooked myself a flank steak at 7 a.m. And I took a red cabbage the size of an apple before I chopped it all up. So a whole bunch of red cabbage. And I just sauteed it all in a pan together with a little bit of olive oil until it was done enough. And that was my breakfast. So think about leftovers for breakfast is a great, great way to do breakfast. All kinds of scrambles with veggies and meat, and really get, if you're not a vegetarian, really get creative about your meats that you can put into eggs with you. And Greek yogurts with nuts and berries can galore. There's all kinds of protein pancakes mixes now that have protein in them. So you can have those pancakes you like. and they're full of protein. Breakfast burritos can be a great, especially if you have a whole grain tortilla, breakfast burritos can be a great option too. So lots and lots and lots of options. If you are vegetarian or vegan, you already know. Well, first of all, if you're vegetarian or vegan and not what I call pastatarian, because a lot of times teenagers, I'm a vegetarian now. No, you're not. You're a pastatarian. But if you're vegetarian or vegan, you probably already know and love your vegetables very well, and you're getting a lot of them. And so you'll just want to kind of look at carefully at how much protein is in all those vegetables to make sure that you, a lot of times you might just need to kind of do a little bit of tweak with the beans and rice mixtures to be able to get the proteins you need. Yes. So we'll get that, the list of bunch of different ideas, including my favorite smoothie recipe, which is basically a frozen banana, a cup of milk, a scoop of protein powder, and some ice. That's the base. And then from there, the sky's the limit. You can add in, I added spinach all the time to my smoothies. It's amazing how much spinach you can hide into smoothies and nobody knows. It's pretty great. So there we go. So we're going to do one last pause and think here, and then we'll open the microphones for everybody. And this is what I want you to do here. And I'm going to give a whole minute for this one. The question for you is, now that we've sat and really kind of thought about protein in the context of exercise and sleep, now that we're thinking about 20 grams of protein for breakfast, knowing that if we're eating a typical American breakfast, we're probably not getting that. All of those pieces, thinking about the reality of your life, thinking about what, the question I want you to answer is, what's one thing that I can do differently that will help me actually like my life better, that I'll actually enjoy? And if you really can't think of anything you would enjoy, then go ahead, pull a little grit and self-discipline out of that back pocket and use it for this exercise. But first, try to think, is there something I could do that I would actually enjoy out of this? And then after that minute, we'll open the mic for questions or sharing what your one thing is. And so they could be all, here's some just quick examples just to get your ideas going here, but I don't want to lead the witness too much, but here's some quick ideas. I'll rapid fire. Maybe your one thing is you're going to double down and really learn about how much protein you're actually getting in. You want to do a little more math there. Or maybe you want to actually audit the protein sources you're getting. You're like, I know I'm getting my protein in, but I can make them higher quality. So I'm going to start, you know, swapping out for higher qualities, especially those nitrates. Maybe you're like, no, oh, smoothies, I might be interested in this smoothie thing and you want to learn about that. Or maybe you're like me, maybe you want to start flirting with the idea of doing leftovers for breakfast and kind of letting go of the concept of what breakfast is supposed to be and do more of what you might actually enjoy. Maybe your one thing is I'm going to swap regular yogurt for Greek yogurt. Or maybe your one thing is doing mental work and saying, I know in theory that when I change my eating habits, my palate of what I like to eat actually can change, but that's hard work. In theory, it's easy, and practice is so hard. But maybe that's the work you're going to do, is working towards slowly changing your palate to really enjoy these. Or maybe right now, you're just in a space where you just feel like it's too much, it's too hard, I can't. And so maybe your one thing is going to be starting with showing yourself compassion and tell yourself it's okay to recognize these feelings you have around this topic. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. And you're worthy of this health thing and it will come. But what you need to do now is show yourself compassion. So all right. So there's your question. What's the one thing you're going to take and do with this? And we're going to pause and think about this for a whole minute. Here we go. Mm-hmm.
mind that tries to keep it all in. All your life you stepped inside of someone's life that won't let your heart win. So go ahead and make your stand. Get up and throw away your bed. Try to win. You were feeling low. Remember that the world still shows you were something.
All righty. Once again, as soon as the song gets good, we got to pause it. Okay. Oh, well, I'm so happy to be here and share with you just a little bit of knowledge. And I do know so much of this is things we know, and it's just good to be reminded again and again. I'm going to stop sharing my audio. Boop, boop. And then I'll pause and we'll feel free to raise your hand or if you would like to share, be brave and share what your one thing is that you might like to do as a result of the things we thought about here. So I'll pause for a moment. We'll see. Oh, Chris, I see your hand up. Yep.
Hello. Well, this one's easy for me.
Oh, okay.
I never knew why I enjoyed Greek yogurt in the morning so much.
Oh.
So it's really easy for me to just decide to have a small bowl of Greek yogurt with some fruit and just go on about my business.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. I know. And it's amazing. I actually, Chris, that concept of Greek yogurt, I did a thing. I had a client specifically, and most of my clients are blind and visually impaired. And I had one who's like, I really want to try this yogurt thing. And sugar content was important too. Accessibility was important. So I couldn't recommend, you know, here's this fancy pants one sourced in the central France region. I don't know. I'm just making up stuff, you know, out of a cow named Bob. And, you know, no, it's like, here's what we can buy at Walmart, right? Here's what we can get for reals. Here's what we can get delivered through Amazon grocery. So I actually went to, our local Winco is what we had, which, and bought 20 different kinds of yogurt, tasted them all, tried them all, looked at the nutritional content of all of them. And I was so happy to find that for the most part, if it says Greek yogurt, you're good. Just look for the word Greek and you're good, which is like, oh, thank goodness. Now, of course, within the Greek yogurts, there's some that are higher protein, less sugar, yada, yada, you know, organic versus not, whatever. But at least that's the, you know, to keep it simple and doable and pragmatic, Greek yogurt. Yeah. Great. And I see a couple folks with their hands up.
I'll take Lisa.
So I guess my thing that I'm going to attempt to do, and I want to kind of try and build more goals around this, is eating more better sources of protein. I do like the processed things a bit too much sometimes. So that's where I am. But I wanted to give what I hope will be a really good hint, and that is that I put protein in my coffee because that caffeine is not negotiable in the morning. And so if I put the protein in there, generally I'm headed into, quote, breakfast proper with already 14, 15 grams of protein under my belt. There are some mornings where I wake up very nauseated and I can't do coffee. So, and I'm not a cold drinks in the morning kind of person. So I've also done chicken broth and put protein in it. Two quick blind related protein in the coffee, protein in the liquid tips. if you're putting it in your coffee and you want to put half a protein shake, I have found there are some brands that come in a kind of a cardboard sort of container, and there are ones that are little like plastic bottles. I find that the cardboard containers are easier to feel where that line of cold kind of ends if you keep it in the refrigerator. It's easier to judge half. But if you're not perfect, you make it up the next morning and it works. And then I also often will use protein powder. And I was one of those blind people for a while that was like, I hate protein powder. It doesn't matter how careful I am. I have a mess. And I had a sighted friend watch me, and this may not be your issue, but, you know, I can't think I'm so special that I'm the only one that has this. But what I was not doing was I was not scraping the bottom of the scoop on the ledge of the container. So when I lifted the scoop out, any powder that was on the bottom was going all over. And now that I know to just kind of do that little scrape, it seems like such a simple thing, but it's not a mess. It's not a hassle. And you can buy packages, little individual packages. They're more expensive, but I do use them for travel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fantastic, Lisa. Thanks for the tip too. Yeah. And you're putting,
and if there is a bacon police, I want to date a bacon policeman. Cause
you want to date,
he can bring home everything he's confiscated, you know? When you talked about the bacon police, I just laughed.
Can I get the contraband goods brought home? Yeah. That is not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were like, I need him to keep me from eating. Gosh. I love it. Oh, thanks, Lisa. Why don't we go to Mervyn, and then Sherry, you'll be next after Mervyn.
Thank you. I've very much enjoyed all of the programs today. I have been making a vegetarian omelet and wheat toast for my breakfast for several months now, and I've lost weight, as well as had a lot more energy. And I've been a diabetic since 2004. Sometimes I make, usually I have to make it around 6:37 in the morning, but sometimes I can make it mid-morning in, and that'll be my brunch. So I don't have to make lunch.
Mm-hmm.
I recently got one of those Braun hand blenders with the multi-attachments.
Yep.
So I'd like to get into the smoothies.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have to investigate what type of protein is the good kind of protein. Because when I was in college, and this is back in like 1980, when I was in college, I erroneously thought that wheat germ was good for me. And I was.
Oh, that's what we were taught.
I was doing a lot of weightlifting and things.
Mm-hmm.
And they had wheat germ in the cafeteria. So I was eating a lot of wheat germ. And I'm like, why am I gaining weight? I'm active. And then somebody said, well, you're eating a lot of wheat germ. You can't eat a lot of wheat germ. You're going to gain weight. Mm-hmm. So I had to stop eating wheat germ all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, this is great. No. So that's a wonderful question, about the, what kind of protein powder. And if you've never done one before and you are, not lactose intolerant and you can tolerate dairy.
I can't, I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
You are. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then your hill just got a whole lot steeper to get up than everybody else. So, yeah. So if you weren't lactose intolerant, I would say find a whey protein that has the least amount of ingredients in it possible.
Okay.
That's what I would say, because they're pretty much all coming from the same few manufacturers. They just all slap their own marketing label and fancy stuff on it. But basically the least amount of ingredients possible. And you're probably going to be fine. For the dairy-free protein powders, there, I don't believe yet, is such a thing as a dairy-free protein powder that is, it's like saying, I want to have gluten-free bread, and it's always a little disappointing, you know? Yeah, it's kind of the same thing there too. So if you have to start with one, I would start with a hemp or a pea protein. buy the smallest amount you can, because you'll probably have to try a bunch of the protein, the non-dairy ones. You'll probably have to try a bunch of them before you find one that actually you enjoy. They can tend to be gritty. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. Yep. And then, and Mervin's example though, too, y'all, of, hey, I just started eating, you know, eggs, with vegetables in it and some wheat toast, and I'm losing weight. So it's kind of a really great thing. Mervin's probably not losing weight because specifically he's eating eggs and vegetables, but it's what happens is when you eat protein for breakfast, it helps make maintain your insulin levels, which Mervin is at, I'm guessing that's probably the advisement was like, let's get these insulin levels maintained.
Yeah, I went from 10.1 to 5.5.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, you're probably feeling so much better. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so with that, when the insulin levels, when you do protein in the beginning, like Mervin was, the insulin levels will stay more stable, which massively impacts how hungry or hangry you get throughout the day. And so what ends up happening is there's less grit, less self-discipline. You just naturally eat less throughout the day because you're not like hungry, 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 gotta eat, gotta eat. So congratulations on that progress, Mervin. That's Thank gotta you. Feel good.
Yep.
Yeah. Great. Well, we'll hand Sherry, I see you got off mute. Welcome, Sherry.
Yes, thank you. Hey, I like Chris, I used the Greek yogurt, always used to use Dan and Light and Fit until somebody those years ago said I should be eating Greek yogurt. So I started on that, and I add strawberries in it every day. I rotate between raspberries and blackberries and blueberries. Mm-hmm. So I have two or three fruits in my yogurt. I buy the multi-grain or whole grain oat baked Cheerios. I have a half a cup of them with a banana 5 days a week. The other 2 days I have oatmeal with chia seeds and blueberries and Bene fiber.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what my breakfast is.
What your breakfasts are. Okay. Great. And did you have a question about that too, or?
No, I was just wondering if that was enough protein.
Oh, yes, if it was enough protein. Okay.
That's my sister.
Oh,
hey. Speak for me.
Oh, no, that's great. That's all good. Yeah. So I would say if we looked at like the Greek yogurt, if it was about 15, and again, some are more and some are less, that's a pretty good start to the breakfast. I would look at seeing if we could see how much protein is specifically in the bread, that you're eating, see if we can get it up to 20. My guess is oatmeal can be really great, especially steel cut, lots of fiber, lots of good nutrients. Look to see the protein on that breakfast is probably a little low. So you probably want to add a little more. And then the Cheerios first of all, half a cup of Cheerios. Congratulations on being able to eat only a half a cup of Cheerios. I never knew that. I never knew a human like that existed. so congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that one we could say definitely the Cheerios and the banana, you said, right?
Bananas, yeah.
Okay, yeah. That one, the protein's going to be low because you'll probably have about, if you drank a whole cup of milk, that's going to be about 8 grams of protein. Half a cup of Cheerios is going to have less than 2. So you're at about half the protein you would like to get in a breakfast for the Cheerio ones. Yeah.
Now, I also drink almond milk. I drink a cup of almond milk.
I'm glad you brought that up because not all milks are the same. So the macadamia nut, coconut, almond, rice, chia, hemp, like all soy, all those milks, they have almost no protein in them. So if you're lactose intolerant and you need some kind of a milk substitute, great. They're usually pretty low calorie, and they're usually decently healthy. they don't have the protein like regular milks in them. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
I know. Sorry to bear the news.
Well, that's okay. Just it's interesting to know. I never paid attention to the nutrition on the almond milk. I'll have to look into that.
It is. And like the non-dairy yogurts, you know, people are surprised. You look at the non-dairy coconut yogurt, you know, soy-based yogurt, and it's like, oh, there's no protein hardly. So, yeah. All right.
Interesting. Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Who do we have next?
I think it's Pam Shaw.
It's me. Hi, Lynn. It's nice to meet you. And thanks for an informative and interesting presentation. First of all, I eat whole food plant-based. So step one is the blender is coming out of the box, and I'm Woo-hoo! Going to introduce smoothies into Yay! My eating plan, particularly the spinach.
Okay. Yes.
But, you know, actually, I do have a question for you. If someone was protein deficient, what would the symptoms be like?
Yes. So it's not like if you're completely vitamin C deficient and you're mm-hmm. a pirate way out at sea and you can get scurvy. You know, it's not nothing like that. But typically, you'll feel weaker. If you exercise, you won't be getting stronger. And so you could do all the exercise in the world and you just won't get stronger at all. If you're severely protein deficient for a long time, that impacts everything, muscles, heart, lungs, skin, hair. Mm-hmm. And so some individuals could end up chasing all kinds of chronic health issues. And they might just like, oh my gosh, I just have bad genetics. I got all these things going wrong with me. Mm-hmm. And find out, oh gosh, no, I just need to make sure I'm eating that whole plant-based as much as possible and getting the protein in. Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah.
Thank you so very much. Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Great. I know we're getting close to time and I saw Debbie come on the video. So do we have time for another question or is it time to hand off?
Well, there's no more hands up.
Okay. There's our answer. All right, Debbie, I'll hand it back to you then.
Actually, we're going to now go to Rose. Are you there? Are you on? She's hosting me. Isn't that nice of her?
I am here.
You're here.
I'm so here. Just thinking about my proteins. No, but seriously, that was a great reminder. Thanks again, Lynn. I had been really on a better healthy eating train, and I've definitely jumped off that train a little bit in the last little while, so it's a good reminder of little things to get back on board for.
Since we have a couple minutes, Lynn, are you still there?
I am.
I want to tell you, I'll tell you one quick story about WeCure. They kept telling me that I was losing iron, that I was losing this, I was losing that iron. So we decided to add WeCure to get some extra iron. So I'm putting wheat germ in cereal and wheat germ in this and that. And what eventually found out was I have celiac disease. So wheat germ wasn't exactly the best thing to be eating.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of an interesting issue. So anyway, and that was one thing that happened was with celiac disease. I wasn't really having the digestive problems that people have, but they kept telling me that my diet was really bad because I didn't have this and I didn't have that. So anyway,
fascinating. That's the sidebar. Wow. Wow. Yeah. We're humans. We're so interesting, aren't we? And I'm going to head out. Nice seeing you guys.
Bye-bye
now.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.